Hi, thank you for listening to Around the Corner with Miguel Gulen. Today is May 9th, 2006. I'm going to share a blog entry I did back in April. It was one of my Sunday blog entries. So I've included some references to scripture. And if that offends you, then you might want to click stop now. I've been reflecting on several fantastic books that I've been reading over the last month, and I thought I'd start off with this particular quote. "We have been silent witnesses of evil deeds. We have been drenched by many storms. We have learnt the arts of equivocation and pretense. Are we still of any use?" And those words were written by Dietrich Bonhoeffer. What stirring words these are. Words that should make anyone working in schools, especially administrators, ask themselves, are we still of any use? In a time when we've been drenched by many storms, when we practice the arts of equivocation and pretense, can there be any doubt that Bonhoeffer's words have meaning for us today in education? The words of Isaiah, as Bonhoeffer shared them, are, "He who believes does not flee." Those words strike home as I reflect on education today. For those who can have fled schools. They have fled our schools and abandoned their colleagues, the children, and moved on to greener pastures. Whether it's the movement from urban schools to suburban schools or even private schools, whether it's district officials who have left large districts for small districts, they have fled. And who can blame them? That they chose to take advantage of an active exit strategy to deal with slow death. Yet this should not be my response. As an administrator and a believer, I am called to re-examine what the will of God is. Is it really to convert the masses of educators, legislators, to the gospel of educational technology? And since such a worthy purpose requires daily rededication, what method or approach could I take to accomplish this systemic change? Would it be possible for me to learn from people like Gandhi, Bonhoeffer, or fictional characters like P.K. in The Power of One? Am I able to unleash the divine within myself to become an instrument of the divine to transform education? I am encouraged by this piece of poetry or writing recited by a student by the name of Cruz, a basketball player in the movie Coach Carter. "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us." Your playing small doesn't serve the world. And as we let our own light shine, we subconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. Since school districts may be perceived to be acting like authoritarian states, it is not inappropriate to follow the advice of someone who lived and died in the context of Nazi Germany and Hitler. Bonhoeffer suggests these steps. Speak out and ask authority if what they are doing is legitimate and according to their original responsibility. So his first step is to speak out and ask authority if what they are doing is legitimate and according to their original responsibility. Ask them to recognize if what they're doing is legitimate. As educators, we must question, speak out, and ask if banning and blocking websites, controlling and locking down computers, is really what we started out to do as educators. But the questions are broader than technology issues. We also need to ask if we're really going to allow K-12 education to be destroyed while charter private schools are built up. Is this what we want to allow? The second step is help those affected by the rules. We give succor to those who are hurt by the authority. Help them and mitigate the effects of the danger, of the wheel that is crushing them. For me, this means helping teachers and administrators in any way possible, to help them find some way to engage students. some way to wake them up, to get them out of test prep. For me, this includes efforts like digital storytelling, blogging, problem-based, project-based learning, and other initiatives that involve students doing work that cannot be easily tested, that requires authentic assessment. I was sitting in my office. I had just arrived for the morning, and one of my staff members walked in and stood at my door, and I invited her to sit down, but she says, "No, I'm rushing off to a campus, but I wanted to share this story with you." The story was about a classroom that she is working with. She started working with this teacher, and the teacher was open to the idea of using technology, especially a technology like, let's say, Microsoft Photo Story. But she did not really have a clear idea of what was going to happen or how students were going to get excited. And the student started working on a project, and you can find that project online, and you can find the show notes in this podcast entry. And what was really fascinating was that kids were really engaged in the sense that they were talking about the information that was going into or being recorded into Photo Story. They were excited about the visuals that were being used. Of course, the visuals were their own drawings and pictures that they had drawn by hand using crayons and color pencils. And they were talking about the content. They were having a conversation, a discussion. And the staff member just looked at me and she says, "I didn't know what to do. I started them asking them some questions, and then I realized I had to just be quiet and listen to everything they were saying to each other." And I had the image of the staff member sort of sitting in among the flowers, sitting in among the daisies of the field, surrounded by flowers, and listening to all these children talking about their projects and trying to decide how to organize and customize their work so that it would be best suited for an audience. And I think we've seen that with others. So helping those affected by the rules, Dietrich Bonhoeffer's second suggestion or rule, is so critical. You have the power as a classroom teacher to engage your students in digital storytelling. We often feel so powerless. We are made powerless because everyone else is telling us what to do. It's only when we stand up and say, "This is what we're going to do in our classrooms," that we begin to reassert some power. And if we encourage students to work on these projects, they feel powerful too, and that power comes across in their work and their presentations. The third suggestion is to jam a spoke in the wheel. And you have to be careful with this suggestion, because this is to work against the authority. This could result in letters of reprimand and have severe consequences. Some people like to be subversive and work behind. And that's really passive aggression or passive resistance. I'm reminded of the slaves, you know, breaking things so that they couldn't work with them, and trying to keep the overseer in the dark. And this is a pretty, like I said, it's dangerous. This last is really active work against the authority that's abusing its authority. This is political action, the type of action that the Electronic Frontier Foundation, globalvoices.org, encourage in fighting back. We must jam a spoke in the wheel that is crushing K-12 education. It's rolling right over us. As an educator, I do feel challenged to speak out. In reflecting on my efforts, I have asked if banning or blocking sites is legitimate, but I have also helped in identifying ways around those bans, and I cannot continue to do that. How to put a spoke in the wheel? That is what I must be about. Currently, I enjoy conditional confidence. It's a term developed by Robert Quinn, author of Deep Change, which I highly recommend as a book to read, especially if you're an educator, a classroom teacher, or an administrator. Quinn defines conditional confidence as confidence that you will act well so long as the situation does not violate your assumptions about it. Isn't that exactly where schools are at now? We're expected to act so long as we do not violate the fundamental assumptions that are in place. The root of these assumptions, in spite of separation in church and state, is faith and values. And of course, I'm referring to George Lakoff's book here about framing, Don't Think of an Elephant, and how a small minority, well, they're not a minority, I guess, the Republicans have tried to legislate their values, their worldview. And their worldview, as wonderful as the faith and values part is, which I agree with to some degree, is dangerous for education. Because their expression of faith and values is a top-down approach. It's a, I know everything there is to know about education. You're going to hear it. Hear what I have to say. Once you understand it, I want you to do it. And this top-down approach is very, I think, anti-education. It is anti-education because it's anti-critical thinking. It's anti-questioning. It's against everything that we've learned to do. Socratic questioning approaches are not about hear, understand, and obey. They are really about questioning the world around us and trying to learn more, come to a better understanding of everything. And that understanding occurs through conversation and dialogue. If dialogue is only one way, top down, then that dialogue cannot take place. I have to ask myself, how long will we as teachers and educators stand for this? How long will we be told day by day, this is what you're going to be doing, be quiet, I don't want to listen to you, you must do this. How long will it take? How long will tyranny rule over our schools? The root of these assumptions, in spite of separation of state, is faith and values. That's not to say that faith and values are an evil thing. And I don't want to imply that or say that. I want to say that the way that we have chosen to express faith and values in schools to bring the father model, the strict father model, where the father is the head of the house and he tells everybody else what to do and cares for them and protects them against evil in the world, has not been carried out as flawlessly or as perfectly as we would have hoped. What are the core values of K-12 education? Don't they flow from the values that people who run schools hold dear? We have to question our core values. As a leader, I must enjoy unconditional confidence. Confidence that I can dump inaccurate assumptions and ineffective strategies in the midst of ongoing action. And that action must be to put a spoke in the wheel. It must involve allowing myself to be powerful beyond measure. Are you ready to be powerful beyond measure? I hope so. Thank you for listening to Powerful Beyond Measure from Around the Corner. You can find more information at www.mguhlin.net/blog. Thank you again for listening on Tuesday, May 9th.